All right. Well, we are again in our advanced series. We just kicked it off last week. And what Dwayne was seeking to do, and actually, before I even get there, our heart for this series, this advance out loud with words, is to equip us as a church to share the gospel with unbelievers, to share the gospel with the people that we work with, that we go to school with, perhaps people that are in our own families, people that we encounter out on the streets in the community. This is our heart. We want our church to be a church that not only equips believers, but advances the gospel. And we realize that we need to be able to effectively and faithfully tell people with words what the gospel is. And so that's what this series is all about. Last week, Dwayne opened up our series by telling us why we should tell unbelievers about Jesus. He looked at the Great Commission where Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And Dwayne showed us how this is a command of Jesus and that we should be out sharing the gospel with the lost. Now, many of us have a desire to share the gospel, but we don't know where to begin. We have people in our lives that we know need Jesus. We have people in our lives that we can think of right now that we would want to share the gospel with, but we don't know how to start. And so today, as you saw in the video, we're going to be looking at this cause circle and unfolding each point of prayer, care, and share to give you a foundation for how we actually go about advancing the gospel with unbelievers in our lives. So before we jump into the first point in prayer, let's go ahead and practice that by asking the Spirit for help. Spirit, we come to you this morning, and we ask that you would be with us here as we look at this cause circle of prayer, care, and share, this strategy for sharing the gospel faithfully and effectively with those who so desperately need it. Would you engage our hearts, Lord, in your cause? Would you engage us and equip us to take the gospel to a lost world? We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we jump in here, there's a little cause circle card in your bulletin if you got one. On the back of that, there's kind of a rough outline here of my message to help you follow along. But we have this here as it's designed for you to be able to reference back to in the coming days and weeks and remember some of the main points that we talked about with the cause circle. So you can follow along there. I think that will be helpful for you as we move forward. So let's begin with talking about prayer. Prayer is the first stage in the cause circle. When we want to share the gospel with somebody, we need to start with prayer. And perhaps a little bit surprisingly, we actually need to start with praying for ourselves. Not even for them, but for ourselves. Now, if we're trying to share the gospel with an unbeliever, and that's our aim, why do we begin with praying for ourselves? Well, I think that I speak not only for myself, but for many others in here when I say that we don't often have an engaged heart in the mission of God. We don't often have that desire to actually go out and share the gospel with unbelievers. And if we are not praying for God to change our hearts, we're never going to do it. You see, we need to begin with prayer for ourselves because our hearts are so often not engaged in this great commission that Jesus has called us to. It's crucial that we begin with prayer for ourselves because any lack of evangelistic effort comes from a lack in ourselves, comes from a lack within us. We are often lacking a concern for the lost. Dwayne talked a little bit about this last week. We get saved and then we just feel like we're good and we don't care about the other lost people who are around us. Or we lack confidence in the gospel. We lack confidence that this message of Jesus can actually change and transform the lost. Or we lack truly embracing and experiencing the glory of Christ. We lack a desire to make his glory known in the world. You see, we must begin with prayer for ourselves because it is only through the power of God that we will overcome these things that we often lack and to cultivate good, God-honoring desires in relation to the lost. And one of the reasons why I begin with this point is because this is where I found myself not that long ago. With a lack of concern for the lost, a lack of confidence in the gospel, and a lack of truly embracing and experiencing the glory of Christ. And it took and is taking a lot of prayer and pleading with God to soften and change my heart and give me these desires. A walk around the sanctuary in my afternoons praying, asking God to change me. And slowly but surely, He is doing just that. We must pray that our hearts would be engaged in the mission that God has called us to. This is the first thing that we need to pray for ourselves. There's one more thing that we need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray that we would have spiritual sight. 2 Corinthians 5:16, Paul says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh." If you're familiar with 2 Corinthians 5, it's a great evangelistic text where Paul is talking about what spurs him on to advance the gospel. He says the love of Christ constrains us. The fact that we have experienced the love of Christ should propel us into advancing the gospel. And he comes to this point where he says, because of what Jesus has done, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we should regard no one according to the flesh. Now, what Paul is saying here is he's saying that the gospel should change the way that we see people. The gospel should change the way that we view them. We should no longer view them merely as physical beings, but those who are spiritual by nature and who need this Savior who has died and was raised. You see, I think one of the big reasons why we are often not advancing the gospel is because we don't view people spiritually. We view them physically. We view them as being an inconvenience to us or as something that we don't have time for, or we view them as being a threat to us. And so we don't engage with them. What Paul is saying here is we have to look past just the physical. The gospel demands that we as Christians should see people spiritually. That is, with a need for Jesus. And we must engage them on that basis. And this isn't something that just happens. This is a gift from God that we must pray for and earnestly seek. We must pray for spiritual sight. So after praying for an engaged heart and praying for spiritual sight, we now move on to praying for those who we want to share the gospel with. And the primary thing we need to pray for them is that the Spirit of God would work in their hearts. In John chapter 3, Jesus gives us a theology of conversion that we must always bear in mind as we are striving to share the gospel with unbelievers. Jesus here in John chapter 3 is talking to Nicodemus. I'm sure you're very familiar with this passage of scripture and this dialogue. And Jesus says this as he's talking to Nicodemus. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now what Jesus is saying here is, unless the Spirit of God works in somebody, they will not be saved. And Jesus, as he continues on in this conversation, shows us that the Spirit of God is the one who is giving this new birth, this spiritual birth. The Bible talks about being born from above. Nicodemus was greatly confused about this. But Jesus is showing us here that the Holy Spirit is the one who converts the people that we share the gospel with. We have to understand that we can't trick people into the kingdom of God. We have to understand that we can't coerce them or manipulate them into getting saved. Being saved is something that the Spirit of God does. Now, He uses us as instruments. He uses us to tell people about Jesus and through that bring them to faith. But we must not forget that it is the job of the Spirit to convert those that we are sharing the gospel with. And this shows us that prayer is essential in evangelism. We must begin our efforts to share the gospel with prayer, because if the Spirit of God is not working in the person, there will be no genuine conversion. And so we must begin with prayer. We must begin with prayer for ourselves and prayer for those who we are seeking to share the gospel with. Prayer is essential, and it is the first component here of the cause circle. Now the second, as we move to it, is that of care. We must not only be praying for those we are seeking to share the gospel with, we must also be caring for their needs. And in order for us to care for their needs, we must first learn what their needs are. The first way that we learn what the needs of the lost are we are seeking to share the gospel with is through being perceptive. And this kind of goes hand in hand with praying for spiritual sight. In John chapter 5, we see the account of Jesus healing the lame man at the pool at Bethsaida. And I'm going to read a couple verses to you here and show us how Jesus models this perception and seeing the needs of the people around him. Beginning in verse 2 of chapter 5 of John, he says this: "Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethsaida, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man who had been an invalid for 38 years. And listen to what it says here in verse 6 when Jesus comes on the scene. Verse 6, "When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there for a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be healed?'" Listen to what verse 6 says. When Jesus saw him. When Jesus saw him lying there, we are told that Jesus saw him. He perceived his need. He didn't walk by and ignore the man. He saw his need. And he engaged him in conversation at the point of his need. He saw him and he asked, "Do you want to be healed?" You see, Jesus not only cared about this man's spiritual state, but about his physical state as well. And what this account and so many others in the gospel shows us is that genuinely loving people through learning their needs and seeking to meet them is a great way to get into a gospel conversation with them. Now, we need something in order to do this well, in order to be perceptive and to see the needs of those around us. We have to understand that no matter what the people look like or what situation they're in or how different they are from us, that they are people made in the image of God, just like you and me. You see, it's very easy for us to ignore the people who are clearly different than us, clearly have needs that we may not have. It's very easy for us to not perceive their needs, to not be intentional about looking for and caring for the needs of people like this. How many of us would have simply walked by this lame man and not done anything? Jesus perceived his need and began to engage him at the point of his need. And we must have the same heart that Jesus is showing us here. A heart that is willing to engage with people who are needy, perhaps messy relationships and situations. We need to learn the needs of those around us by being perceptive. The second way that we can learn the needs of those around us is through conversation with them. And I actually think that this is the best way to learn the needs that the people we are trying to share the gospel with have, is by simply talking to them. Now, Doug Holliday is going to be here preaching next week after the conference he does on Saturday. He's going to be preaching in our advanced series. And he's going to be talking to us about how to navigate a conversation with an unbeliever. And so I'm going to be brief here so I don't overlap with what he's going to say. But I'll just say this. I've found that the best way to learn the needs of others is to ask meaningful, genuine questions about their life and just be willing to listen to them. I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with people where I'm just getting to know you. I want to know more about you and how much that has opened up opportunities to share the gospel with them. That people are so willing to share with us, even the things that they need and the problems that they have, if they know that we genuinely care about their situation. People are willing to open up to us. Just a couple months ago, I was down in Worcester, downtown Worcester, which is where I go often to try to engage people in gospel conversations, and I talked to a man named Jim. He's actually one of the guys that was on our promo video last week, if you saw that video we showed. And I was just sitting on the bench talking to him, asking him about his life and asking him what was going on, what he enjoys, where he's from, all of these normal questions you'd ask somebody when you want to get to know him. And, you know, he's like, yeah, he's telling me that, you know, I'm out of work right now. I'm dealing with some physical issues, some chronic fatigue and stuff like that. And I just don't have the energy to get back into the workplace. And I was like, well, you know, hey, man, you know, what do you do for work? What did you do? Well, you know, just trying to engage him in conversation. He was like, I was a welder. When I was working full time, I was a welder and I really enjoyed doing it. And I was like, you know what? I said, I got a guy at my church who owns a business who is hiring welders right now. I said, if you want to pursue a job or pursue a conversation with him, let me know, and I'll try and hook you guys up. And I was not sharing the gospel with him at this point. I was just getting to know him. But I think that as the conversation unfolded, I got to talk to him about Jesus. I think that me just caring for him and caring for the physical place where he found himself, unemployed, out of work with these physical issues, and me putting forth effort to show that I was concerned about that, actually opened up conversation for the gospel as we continued to talk. Now, he hasn't taken me up on that offer yet, but maybe he will one day. But I think that it actually made a difference in our conversation just because I was willing to listen and I was willing to try to offer what I could to help him physically. So we learn the needs of others by being perceptive and by engaging them in conversation. And once we have learned the needs of those we're trying to share the gospel with, we can then lovingly meet those needs. Now, it's at this point that we need to ask another question. If we are most concerned about the spiritual state of these people, which we are, then why are we putting so much emphasis on meeting their physical needs and being concerned about their physical needs? This is of particular importance because of where the Mennonite church at large has been and is currently, and where the evangelical church is going. Historically, Mennonites in the evangelical church have fallen into concerning themselves only with the physical needs of those of the lost, of only their physical needs. This is often called the social gospel. We are only going to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless, and represent the marginalized. We're only going to do that. Our help for them will go no further. Now, the problem with this is obvious. Meeting the physical needs of the lost may give them a better life here and now, but once they die, those physical things that we have given them are not going to help them escape the eternal judgment that awaits them. So if we are only meeting physical needs, we're not helping them for eternity. We're not helping them where it matters most. And this isn't the biblical approach. The biblical approach is that we should care for people physically, but not only that. We should care for them physically and spiritually. We should both care for their physical needs and seek to tell them about Jesus. You see, God has designed the sharing or caring for the lost and sharing with them to go hand in hand. And they actually support each other very well. You see, we have to understand that when we combine caring for people with our sharing the gospel with them, we are giving them tangible evidence that our message actually has power in our lives. So when we come to them and we're eager to learn about their physical needs and we are willing to extend our hands in love to meet them, it connects with them when we then talk about a God who has condescended and reached down to them in the person of their Son to fix their spiritual problem. When we put both of these things together, it gives great power to the message that we are sharing with them. Caring for the lost is meant to display the power of the gospel and that it's actually taken effect on our lives. We cannot resort simply to caring for the needs of the lost, nor should we only share the gospel with them, but as God gives us the opportunity, we should do both. We should do both. Prayer is essential to evangelism, and caring is very helpful to evangelism. We have to understand that caring is not essential, it is very helpful. People can still get saved if you just tell them about Jesus, but it's much more helpful for them to be able to see the connection, to be able to see the power of the gospel in action. This is what James is all about, right? We went through James last year. Go back and listen to those sermons. So as we pray for the lost, and as we care for the lost, we are then in a better position to share the gospel with the lost. And this is where we come to the third stage of the cause circle. And what I want to do here is I want to focus specifically on how prayer helps us share the gospel and how caring for the lost helps us share the gospel with them. As I said last week, Dwayne handled why we should share the gospel with the lost. And in the coming weeks, we're going to see how we can do that well and what we're actually sharing, the gospel. And so I don't want to overlap a lot with these messages that are going to be coming. And so what I want to do is show us how praying is connected to sharing and how caring is connected to sharing and how both of these things help us share the gospel more faithfully and effectively. So where we'll begin is with how prayer connects to sharing. And what we see here is that prayer creates confident sharing. Prayer creates confident sharing. It does this in two ways. First, prayer removes the pressure from us in sharing the gospel. Prayer removes the pressure from us by reminding us that the Spirit uses weak and imperfect messengers to convert the lost. When we are praying and asking the Spirit to come and help us, when we are asking the Spirit to come and engage our hearts and give us spiritual sight, we're admitting that we need His help. We're not perfect in and of ourselves. We don't say everything right. We don't do everything right. That's why we ask for the Spirit to come and help us. And as we are praying this way, it should remove the pressure from us to be perfect, understanding that the Spirit is able to use even the weakest among us to convert the lost. You see, God is not asking you to do and say everything right as you share the gospel, but He is calling you to faithfully share it. He's not asking you to be perfect. His Spirit is able to use us as weak and imperfect messengers. Knowing this, that the Spirit can use us no matter how imperfect we are, this should free us from the pressure that we often feel that, man, I have to, before I share the gospel, I need to answer, be able to answer every question and explain every facet of the gospel and every verse in the Bible perfectly. Should remove that pressure from us, knowing that the Spirit is not expecting us to be flawless in our delivery of the gospel. Not flawless, but faithful. That's what we're striving for. That's what we're aiming for. And so when we engage in prayer, it should remove this pressure from us. Secondly, prayer creates confident sharing by instilling confidence in us as we pray. And this is based again on John chapter 3. Prayer instills confidence in us by reminding us that it's the Spirit's job to convert the people we are sharing the gospel with. It's not your job to convert them. It's your job to share the gospel with them and allow the Spirit to do the rest. You see, what we have to understand is at the end of the day, if someone is converted because we shared the gospel with them, it's not because we were awesome at sharing it, even though we might have been awesome at sharing it. It's because the Spirit of God was working in that person as we shared the gospel with them. And this gives us great confidence. This gives me confidence when I'm going out knowing that I don't have to do everything perfect. I don't have to do everything right. I just need to be faithful. That I don't want to put that pressure on myself to be the one that's like, if this person doesn't get converted, it's your fault. You didn't explain the gospel well enough. God can use us, and it's His job to convert the lost. So this should simultaneously remove the pressure from us and instill confidence in us as we are sharing the gospel. One of the things that I found helpful on a practical note in this way is before I go out and am spending intentional time trying to engage people in gospel conversations is to pray the promises of God. And there's a few that I particularly like to pray as I'm heading to that bench where I always sit. One is in the Great Commission itself in Matthew 28. Again, we see Jesus telling the disciples to go into all the nations and to make disciples of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then he tacks this very important promise onto the end. And he says, "And behold, I am with you, even to the end of the age." That's a promise given by Jesus that when we are going out seeking to make disciples, seeking to share the gospel, seeking to bring people into the kingdom of God, that He will go with us. And so as I'm walking to my spot, I'm like, Jesus, please come and be here. You have promised that if I'm willing to go out and share the gospel with people, that you will go with me. So show up. Show up. Bring the people that you know need the gospel today. Another one that I like to meditate on is 2 Corinthians 5:20, where Paul says that we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. It is God who is appealing to the lost through us. Through our sharing the gospel to them, God is calling out to them to repent of their sins and trust in Jesus. And I'm praying, God, speak through me. Use me as an ambassador for the gospel. I also pray in light of the reality of John 3, praying that the Spirit would give new birth to the people that I will share the gospel with. Spirit, come and move. You, Jesus, you said that it's the Spirit's job to convert. And if there will be fruit from my efforts here today, you must work. So come and work, I pray. And as I pray through these promises and many other, it instills confidence in me to be bold about sharing the gospel with those I'll talk to that day. You see, prayer helps us share the gospel by rooting our confidence in the work of the Holy Spirit. This is how prayer creates confident sharing. Now, secondly, we see how caring relates to sharing. Caring creates connections in sharing. So learning the needs of the lost helps us connect the gospel to their life. The gospel is a message about how Christ has come to reverse the curse that Adam brought upon humanity and that we participate in ourselves. And every unbeliever you know is dealing with the pain and consequences of living in a sin-sick world. We live in those consequences as well, just as they do. We understand how living in a fallen world affects us. And as we learn the needs and seek to meet them, we will see more clearly how the gospel can touch their specific struggles, fears, and pains. It will make us more effective at sharing the gospel with them. I can testify to this in my own life, more so through the working of God than through somebody actually coming and sharing the gospel with me. When I was 11 or 12, my parents got a divorce. My father left our home, and that left me fatherless in a lot of ways for a very long period of time. From the age 11 until my conversion at 19, I felt this deep-rooted and deep-seated need for a father in my life. And one of the things that God used to draw me to himself, to the gospel, to Christ, was showing me over and over and over again that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died a substitutionary death, and raised again from the dead so that God could bring children into his family, so that God could adopt people into his family and be a perfect father for them. And this spoke deeply to my heart. The gospel connected with what I was needing. I was needing a father. And the gospel gave me what I needed. Learning the needs of others will help us share the gospel more effectively with them. When we can connect the way the gospel fills the need that they're dealing with because of the sin-sick world they live in, it will connect how the gospel touches their very own life. And so on our side, learning those needs and caring for those needs helps us share the gospel more effectively. And on their side, when we do that, it helps them understand how the gospel connects to their life. Caring creates connections in sharing the gospel. Praying creates confident sharing, and caring creates connections in sharing. So this is the strategy, guys, that we want you to leave with and that we want you to begin to practice. If you're like, I don't have a desire to share the gospel with the lost, you need to begin by praying for yourself, begging and pleading God to move in you and to change your heart. If you have a desire and you're like, I don't know where to start, take this and use it. Pray for yourself. Pray for those you want to share the gospel with. Learn their needs, meet their needs, share the gospel with confidence and in a way that connects to the lives of those you're sharing with. What I want to do is conclude here this morning. I want everybody to take one of these out. You should have this in your bulletin, so pull it out here with me. Hopefully you have a pen. If not, you can write the name in there with your mind. But what I want to do is I just want to close this morning with some silent prayer. I want all of us to take this card out, and those lines on the middle there are meant to be a place where you can write people's names. People's names who you already know are in your life and need the gospel, and people's names that as we pray together now, that the Spirit would reveal to you. You need to put their names on there. And I want you to begin to take them through this circle. Begin by praying for them, looking for opportunities to care for them, and looking for opportunities to share the gospel with them. So let's begin a time of prayer, asking the Spirit to open our eyes to those in our life who need the gospel. Write those names down, and then in a moment, I will close our time together in prayer.